Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 611. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Well, I think if this podcast goes well, I should get all the credit.
Okay.
But if it doesn't, I should not be blamed at all. But it will probably be the opposite.
Wait, have we ever blamed you for when things go bad here?
No. That, I was going to say that was a first, because I think those were the exact words, too.
Yes.
This is our curious ex-president on election night talking to Newsmax, and this was his. It's like, if it does, like exactly what Tony said, if it does well, it's all me. If they fail, I had nothing to do with it. Don't blame me.
The thing that makes it art, though, is the line at the end, but it will probably be the opposite. What does that mean? What is the opposite of that? I don't understand.
I don't know. Earl was here, though.
I guess it was the opposite, because they are blaming him for a terrible night. So
that's right. It is mostly his fault. So, candidates, everyone hates them.
I just want everybody to know that I have created the Perfectly Insane Show, and I'm verified on Twitter for just $8. So, you know, the official feed. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Is the official gone now? Sorry. Okay. No, wait. Official's back? Okay. So, yes, check me out. Verified on Twitter.
Or not. Maybe you're verified. Maybe you aren't. Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe I'll get banned for making fun of Elon Musk, because free speech is free until you make fun of the guy who owns the site.
Yeah, that seems to be the only thing that gets you banned. I mean, you could go out there, pretend you're Eli Lilly, and say that now insulin is free for everybody. And then they have to do the backtrack on it. Oh, this is from a parody account, not ours, even though it's actually verified and looks more official than our own account.
Yeah. Man, nobody could see. I mean, we had that precedent. I was going to say, this is a guy who's literally just like any thought that comes to his head, he's saying. Like, he will say something, and like 5 minutes later, literally contradict himself or lying to himself about a policy that he wants to implement or something. And it is insane. It's not the president, so it's not as stressful, but like, waking up and seeing like this guy said this overnight about Twitter, or this is what he wants to do about Twitter, or the fact that, like, at this point I think Twitter has either laid off, fired, or people have quit like a good 40% of their workforce.
Yep,
it was half, I think.
They laid off half. Yeah.
And now that they probably attritioned another 40% of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, because who's like, he's a stable genius apparently, where who sends a note at midnight saying you have to be back in office 40 hours tomorrow at midnight
to a bunch of employees who, by the way, have working from home in their contracts.
Yes. And a lot of them, because it was announced that you can work from home permanently, they're nowhere near an office.
Yeah, totally they have nowhere. Yeah.
Welcome, Jeff.
Hey.
So,
what are you guys talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a lot of stuff going on this week.
The dumpster fire that is,
dude, like, currently. Just like everything, like every problem they're, like, well, not every problem, but like pretty much every problem they're having is just because of him. Like, it's like,
yes.
like the whole, like, all, like the impersonation accounts, and now he's having to make rules about the impersonation. You have to have purity here, and it's like, dude, it's like, it's almost like this website's been around a long time, and there was a lot of people that put thought into how verification works, and you come in there and upend it all, and you're like, oh, it's creating all these fucking problems. It's like, yeah, dude, you did that. Like, but there's people saying, like that they're doing.
He's saying, like, activity on the site's higher than ever. Like, yeah, because it's like when people drive past the car crash on the interstate. Like, people are slowing down to see what's going on. That's the interaction you're getting.
This is what's so great about this is that it's like an interactive car crash. Because it's like, yeah, as you drive by, it's like, you can make fun of the people. Not that you would make fun of people in a car crash, but you make fun of the nightmare that you're passing as you're doing it, laughing at him.
Dude.
Or making it worse, throwing more wood on the fire.
He's so, like...
The The best way I've heard it explained, and I don't know everybody sibling, it's like if they were like, if you ever played a game with a younger sibling and they make up the rules as they go so that they're always winning, that is very much how he's running Twitter. It's like he wants everything at the same time, but he has no idea what he wants. He's making these decisions through the ladder. There's no like insight. There's no board. There's no like C-suite.
He's losing everybody. Yeah.
Yes, and I just want this to be on the record that he is CEO of 3 multi-billion-dollar companies.
I don't understand how
he has time to shitpost on Twitter more than everybody on this podcast right now.
CEOs are useless.
So stop with the hustle culture, Kiri. You do not need to work hard. You just need to be in the right position, because Kiri, something's wrong if this guy is running 3 different businesses.
And I don't know how
constantly.
I don't know how he ever had a successful business.
None of them were particularly successful.
I guess I never had a strong opinion on him one way or another before this. I didn't follow him on Twitter. But like now, because like, and I don't still, but it's like just because he's now the fucking main character on this site, it's like I see his posts and stuff, and I'm just like, this guy's fucking stupid, like really stupid, way in over his head. And like, there's part of it where it's like, there was a moment of clarity where he was like trying to get out, and you know, he's stuck in this position. But it's like, how did it start again? Like, he wanted to be able to say the N-word or wanted people to be able to say whatever the fuck they wanted on Twitter. And he said, I'll just buy the company. And then now here, this is where we're at. Like, what happened here? Like, I don't remember what the genesis of this was. I know that, like, he got
upset about, like, people being what he considered censored. And he was like, well, I could just buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very dumb mistake, because now you can see about like why you can't have people saying anything. Like, people are proving it to him every fucking day, and his site is bleeding fucking, you know, advertisers. And brands are gonna sue him. Like, it's just like, dude. That's why they have these things in place. That's why it's not a free speech free for all. Like,
he's doing that thing where like the right wing is like, free speech is you can say whatever without consequences, but as an individual, you can fight for it. You can't fight for it as a corporation, because what he's going to find out really quickly is he's already in trouble with the FTC. He's going to be sued by a lot of companies because this is damaging their brands. Like the fact that you can get somebody verified on Twitter pretending to be Nintendo or Chiquita. Or, you know, like saying incidents free, that's going to cause a lot of headaches for them. And it's not like they don't have a moderation team. Like, this stuff is being caught, but it's being caught after hours and being shared across social media. Imagine the stuff that's not being caught right now. Imagine when it balloons up and, like, I mean, heaven forbid this happened on Monday. Like, people would have been like creating accounts for like a rep being like, don't vote today, or I'm dropping out of the race, or I endorse my opponent, or something stupid like that.
Yep.
There's even much smaller scale things that you could do with that are not, won't get noticed by like a large. I saw someone posting about this. Like, think of like, you could impersonate an ex and make them look bad. Like, you know what I mean? Yep. Like, and it's just, it's almost like there were people who had thought this through before, and that's why this wasn't a free speech. Like, yeah, and you know, the funny thing is, like, the bitch about free speech, you can pretty much say whatever the fuck you want on Twitter. It's just not hate speech and impersonating people, and now you know what I mean? Like, you can pretty much get away with, like, if you have a stupid thought, you might get made fun of for it, but you can say what you want, pretty much. That's like, dude, like, the problem with this idiot that had this much money that, like, is so addicted to the site, that he made a stupid decision, like, you know, now we all get to suffer through his nonsense because he fucking accidentally bought this fucking site. Like, dude.
He's pushed the dumpster fire that was Twitter, and now it's just a dumpster fire going down a hill really fast.
But it's like, there's no doubt left of this guy. Like, in my opinion, like, again, I didn't know a ton about him before. Like, I knew who he was, you know. But, like, God, he's a fucking idiot, dude.
He's
like,
stupid. He's not just smart.
Unbelievably stupid. Like, you're creating, like, it's, it would have been a hard enough thing to, it would have been an impossible thing to, like, ship to write just based on what you paid for it. But, like, to, like, just now purposely implode. And I don't even know if it's purposely. I think he's, like, really trying to do shit. But it's like, dude, everything you're doing, I could see as an outsider, is like incredibly stupid.
It's not, but he's doing stuff, and he's doing stuff in real time, where like the official thing.
I just killed it. Something that earlier today, I just killed it. You're like, dude, you rolled something out and killed it within hours. Like, what are you doing, dude? Stop.
I get it. Like,
you get your fucking staff back.
But who's gonna come back to him? Why would you come back?
I wouldn't stay there. I'm sure the higher ups of Twitter are pretty talented people that found places to go.
They've all resigned. The point where my favorite thing about this whole thing was when a news story reached out to him for comment directly, because the entire communication staff has quit.
Yeah, there's just like, there's no comms.
Yes, honestly, I would not be surprised because he bought the stock for such an inflated price. I assume a lot of the C-level executives had stock options.
Yeah.
And then they got the severance package. I would not be surprised if they used that money to then start a Twitter alternative with the staff that he's letting go of, because you have people who have experience with this. I mean, the big problem is still going to be the issue that, like, even with before him, Twitter wasn't like super profitable, because there's really no method to monetize it that makes sense.
Nope. Right, and his method is like, well, I'll just make everybody pay like to use it, and if we can get like half the people that use it to pay, then I'm good. But like, you're not. Like, maybe at best you're gonna get 10%.
If that, yeah.
Right, if.
I'd be surprised if you could get more than 3% of people that pay, like. And just
like, Twitter's cool, but is it $8 a month cool? Like,
no, because you know what happens after it fucking explodes and goes away? Someone will just make like a similar thing and it'll be fine. Like, it's not gonna be Mastodon or whatever. That thing sounds fucking dumb to me. Like, it's gonna be, Truth Social is basically a carbon copy of fucking Twitter, isn't it? Yeah, so yep. Someone could just do that. I'm not worried about it at all, honestly. It's just annoying. Now to be living through it as it's happening, because like, I just get to hear about Elon Musk all day. I'm just
And that's honestly what I mean. That and a lot of people, I mean, I understand it, but a lot of people are taking it to heart. A lot of people, I mean, a lot of Twitter right now is people saying their farewells and telling people like where to find them. And I, you know, I've had this
also not leaving. I'm sorry, like a lot of people are, they changed their handle to their Mastodon account. It's like, all right, dude, what are you fucking still doing here? Right,
but like, Twitter right now is not financially viable. Like, this company, if it's going at the rate it's going, it's going to be like a matter of months or weeks.
Yeah.
It's weeks at this point.
Yes.
It'll be something else.
So, like...
And if there's not, what, dude? Like, you lived a life before any of this shit, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's
But I mean, it's kind of like smartphones. We all have lives before smartphones. Can you imagine going back to a time before smartphones, though?
No more internet, Jeff. You don't get any more internet ever again.
Yeah, well, those things I'd argue are more useful than Twitter. Even like,
usefulness or not, but what I'm saying is that like, you could say that stuff we existed before Twitter and social media, but people have gotten accustomed to it in life. Like, I was reading stuff today. Like, again, you know, we can talk about how we use it, how we don't use it, whatever, but like, the fact that over the past 10 years, 15 years, it's become a major place of like, it's where you go for we have accounts in New York for alternate side parking when that's canceled, for trains and days and stuff like that, for school closures. There's a lot of usefulness in that, and like getting that information out, because like, you know, nothing else kind of has that feed. Like, you can do that on Facebook, but you can't really do it on Instagram and stuff like that. There's also, like, you know, just reading is that aspect of the fact that you didn't need to provide content. Like, you just wrote about stuff. You find people who have similar interests. Instagram, you always need to take pictures. Facebook, apparently, you need to have an interesting life. I do not know what TikTok is. I know what TikTok is. I don't know. I would never be on TikTok.
I don't know how to use TikTok. I know how to, like, watch the videos.
Yeah.
Nothing. I don't know how to create anything for it.
Nothing is, none of those big ones are like quite like Twitter. And I do think that Twitter is by far like the coolest, like the most superior social media. And it's funny because, like, I know people who, for instance, my wife's daughter, she's like in her 20s and she's, I don't think she's even on Twitter. It's like she just uses Snapchat and other things, but it's like, I guess if you're not on it, you don't get why it's the best. But I think everyone here that uses Twitter gets it, right? Like, it's just this open fucking platform. Like, we just, like, you follow whoever you want to. You don't have to friend people, and you get to make it as interesting as you want. Like, again, I could go on about, like, why I love Twitter, but I'm like, I wouldn't mourn its death. I honestly wouldn't. Like, something else will come along, and if it doesn't,
well,
maybe
most of the things you've cited as good things about Twitter exist on these other platforms as well. But I think the coolest Twitter thing about Twitter was the fact that you could get these interactions with cool people, like famous people.
Yeah, for sure.
And now you can't. They've ruined that forever. This whole checkmark thing has destroyed all of that. So it's taken, like, the best thing about Twitter and just removed it from the equation.
Yes, I would also say, and other social medias are like this, but I think Twitter was also, because it's one giant, it was very international in a way that I feel like the others aren't. Like, you can have, like, you know, my feed is full of people in Europe and Australia and different parts of the States and Canada and stuff like that. And you get that in other ones, but it's not as organic in the sense that, like, my feed is video games, wrestling, comic. And that's all, like, Mastodon, to your point, is like, I haven't signed up for Mastodon. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I know you can alternate servers and stuff, but I'm like, I don't know what server I want to be on. So I'm like, I'm not one thing. I'm not, like, one bucket. And I think that was one of the geniuses of Twitter. It's like, it's gotten complicated over the years, but Twitter was always just, like, clean and simple. Like, yes, they focus more on videos and pictures and polls and all that fun jazz. But when it first started, it was just text. That's all you had to communicate with. And a very easy way to, like, communicate and have feedback with people. And yeah, it's like, you know, like, a lot of people are followed by famous people. You can talk to them. And, like, to Tony's point now, it's like, one, you're scaring, like, it's still ridiculous that you charge people to create content for you, because the content was the stuff people tweeted. It's not the Twitter account. It's not having a check mark. Like, that doesn't add anything of value to any of us. But it was the fact that, okay, this is an actual celebrity, or this is an official account. Like, I trust them to drop this news, and I don't have to verify or hope that I'm not saying that fake news doesn't come from verified account, because there's people on the right who's verified too. You had a president who was very addicted to Twitter. But I think a lot of people, a lot of people have built communities. A lot of artists have, you know, artists, musicians have built fandoms and have been able to find people locally. People have developed friend groups. People, a lot of that stuff, I think it's going to be harder for people to adjust to that, because it's been such a big part of our lives for the past, I'm going to say, 12 years or so. I know it's older than that, but really, I think it started to take off in the early 2010s.
Yeah. The one thing, like, just, like, talking about how Twitter, I think, is different and better than the others, it's a very simple thing to me. Like, is that Twitter's very simple and straightforward and clean. It's like, you're constantly scrolling, and when you update, here's another 100 fucking new tweets. Facebook's not like that. It's like this algorithm where you're just seeing certain things, and just some of your friends and the things that they think you want to see more. And I can't just pull down on Facebook and it update and show me the next, you know, 100 funny things that someone just wrote in the last minute. It's just not like that. And that's what I love about Twitter. It's like, it never gets boring, because you can just, every minute, like, I, again, part of it is because I follow so many accounts, but, like, every minute it's just like, Here's another thing to look at, and I don't get that on any other social media that I.
Are you on other, like, other than Facebook?
I'm on Snapchat, which I like don't get. I think it kind of sucks, to be honest with you. I think that it was a good place to sell drugs, and they've kind of clamped down on that. I'm on Reddit, which I think is great. Reddit is really cool, but that, like, Reddit is like
an old school forum.
Yeah. It's old school message boards. It's like game FAQs, but like with any topic you could think of. But it's very useful in that sense.
Any topic you could think of.
Yeah, but that's very useful in that sense, because you could be looking for something that's very specific, and there's a whole community dedicated to it on there. Reddit, I only got into pretty recently, like 2020, I think. And at first I was like, I don't get this. You know, what is this? But I dig Reddit. I don't spend a ton of time on there, but I really, really dig Reddit. But it's a different thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's only one Twitter. But again, like we said, like, it's an easy thing to copy, I think, in a way.
The thing with Reddit too is that it's siloed, right? So it's like, if I want to talk about the Dolphins, like, I go on the Dolphins subreddit, but I'm not just throwing my Dolphins thoughts out into the wild.
That's what it's like. Twitter's
like, the Dolphins suck, dude.
Yeah. Twitter's this big pool, and you can kind of curate what that pool is based on who you follow and then your interests. But yeah, that's one of that's the difference there. You know what I mean?
I would also say, and again, I don't think the problem isn't creating a Twitter alternative. I don't think that's an issue. I think anybody can do that. I think the problem, as we said, and other people, is like Twitter wasn't profitable. It's very hard to invest in something if you don't have a plan on, like, how do you make money with it? And I mean, to be fair to him to a degree, I mean, at least Musk is beta testing a lot of these features for people to be like, oh, this is a stupid idea. We won't do that without our alternative. Because yes, there's a disaster in having to verify people. I could see like having money. You have promoted tweets already, but like having a way like you could spend like a buck or something to make sure your thing is amplified or like it goes out to all your messengers or something stupid like that. But yes, they have to figure either that or just have somebody who's willing to throw money at. Out of it. The other alternative, which I don't think would people would like, is like if the government created something like Twitter where they can eat the cost.
And yeah, then I was literally just thinking of something like that while you were saying it. I'm like, well, it's such a public good in a way that you almost could say to have the government back it, and who cares how profitable it is, you know?
And I would say maybe not.
You also don't want to be like dumping your information like in some cases to the government. Because, like, part of the good of Twitter, like, you know, good is maybe a strong word, but you know, when the protests and stuff happen, like, it's a good source of, like, linking. And I mean, already governments, like, already check Twitter and are, like, seeing where people are forming. So maybe it's not, like, it was never a good idea to do that anyway, but. Like, I know that was how it used, and like if it was like this is the government's version of Twitter, it's like I'm certainly not doing it there.
There would be things that
and not DMing like shady shit like on the side. I wasn't DMing shady shit anyway, but
I don't know. I really, for me, it's not something I'm super worried about what's happening here, but I do think that it is fucking annoying. It is really fucking annoying that this fucking dumb fuck is now just
along and destroyed something that was working.
Yeah, and like it's just like Twitter talking about itself all day, and it's just like, dude, this place was fun. What are you doing? Anyways, I think things will work itself out. They do, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not. If not, we're fucked.
One thing on Mastodon, and I think Earl kind of touched on it, that it's confusing to know where to start out with, and that's the biggest issue with it, because once you get on it, you can follow anybody from any server. They don't have to be on the same server, so it's just like your starting point, but it's like, what does that mean, right? Like it's so confusing to start with.
It sounds weird, and that's not gonna.
Yes, that's gonna. Once you can't sign up, Yeah, I think that's going to be the issue. Either that, or they just need like an all-purpose server that people like. This is the default, and then you can move on to other servers if you want.
Yeah.
To.
Well, and that was the problem. I chose what looked to be the default server when I signed up, and it was so overloaded that the verification emails weren't going out.
Yes.
So like, I was like, this is horrible. And then like, Walt was like, well, I'm using this one, and I like retried it, and it like went through immediately. And I was like, oh, this. Like, the format is just like Twitter. Like, it looks like Twitter, except you have 5,000 characters, so it's, like, more like a kind of, like, a blog that feeds. It's more like, I guess, like Tumblr.
I get that, but I do think that, everyone, I know people hate it, but I do think the character limit is something you need to keep from Twitter. Because, yeah. Like, if you go too verbose, you just become Facebook, and you don't want that angry ant energy where you're, like, writing a 5,000-word.
Yeah, like, there's it something forces special you... about being like, I have to get my thoughts into like, what is it, 200 and some characters or something like that.
40, I think.
You could do threads, but like, there's something about the character limit that forces you to think about how you're writing a little bit. And how do I get what might be the most economical way to say what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that
there are
something.
So many like threads.
Well, there's people that do like their fucking 50 like, thread, you know.
I feel like the people who really like, there are some people who do care about like getting their thoughts concise and in that limit, but there are a lot of people who don't.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to thread, I'll thread. But if I'm trying to get one simple thought out, and it runs, 50 characters too long, maybe I'll rethink how I'm phrasing.
Yeah, you delete parts of it and get it. You cut it down.
And that makes it again. It adds to that whole scrolling experience that I said, like where it's just like, here's an interesting thing. Here's an interesting thing, and they're all like concise. Like it's.
I was going
to
say
there is a genius to what Twitter is for sure.
But,
Well, were you going to say, Earl?
Oh no, I was going to say the thing with threads is like, I feel like even with those, it still makes you very, it's very good in like storytelling where it's more like chapters. Like you have to make sure each part of that thread makes sense and not like,
it's a punchline to each one.
Yes, because
like, kind of leads you to the next one.
Yes, because it's either because a lot of times it might be like people tend to like, tweet the first one, but sometimes it might be like we retweet the last one or middle one because that's the poignant point. But you have to make sure like each one's impactful in its own. Yeah. But I try like, okay, there's two things. I mean, there's threads and then there's threading. I do enjoy threading because I like the kind of continuity. I think some of us do that like with games that you play throughout the year and stuff like that. Where it's like, okay, that makes sense. You're just building on this list essentially. Where like sometimes with threads, I'm like, yes, okay. Like one, when people are like, okay, this is like 1 of 50, I'm like, oh god. But a lot of times, like it depends on what the topic, it can be interesting.
Yeah, there's some good threads out there. Sometimes it's just like you've gone on too long, buddy. But
yeah, I do think Earl makes a good point in that you want to make each part of the thread kind of work. It changes how you would write versus writing a normal paper or article. It does.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, Twitter's gonna be fucking gone in a week. It's gonna be like the end of Good
Will Hunting. We're just gonna like wake up and the app's not gonna work anymore.
Yeah, like remember at the end of Good Will Hunting, Ben Affleck goes to Matt Damon's house and he looks in and he's like,
he's just not there.
He's fucking gone, and like, a little smile comes to his face, like that motherfucker. It's finally over, and that's how it's gonna be.
Well, we have backups in place, so.
But, how about some video games?
Yeah.
Video games? What?
I remember video games.
Yeah, well, some new ones came out this week, and we're glad that you were able to join us tonight,
well,
Jeff.
Depends on what you say.
Yeah. Little Blue Fuzzball has a new game out.
Yeah.
Tell us about this Sonic Frontiers game.
Sonic Frontier, we have to disclaimer at the top, like, I like the Sonic games, I'm a Sonic fan. I'm not one of these crazy Sonic fans, though. I think that despite their flaws, like, and I think ever since the series has gone 3D, there's been flaws. I do think that, like, a lot of them are better than the reputation that the series has. Where that's the reputation of the series is that like once it went 3D, they couldn't figure it out, and they all suck. And I don't think that's true. I think that, like, honestly, I think some of the most beloved 3D ones are fucking terrible. Like, you could take those fucking Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 and throw them in the fucking trash. And a lot of those early ones. But I think that, like, long after most people wrote the series off, it's been generally competent. Like, yeah, they're not amazing or anything. They have flaws, but, like, most of them are not like Sonic 2006. They're not.
That's the one everybody's always like, this is the one that's terrible. It's so bad. That's the one that you always use in as an example for shitty Sonic in 3D.
And that rightfully so. Like, I never got more than an hour into that game. It's, like, unplayable. It's broken. It sucks. But, like, even, like, the middling, mediocre recent ones, like Sonic Forces, I thought were, like, I'm like, that game is on sale for $10 all the time. Like, and if you're into platformers, it's not that bad, dude. It's, like, okay. You know what I mean? That's my disclaimer at the top. So just so, like, if you're listening to this and you didn't know where I'm coming from, I want to give you that context. I think this game is great. I think Sonic Frontiers is, like, it's surprisingly great. Like, I just didn't think Sonic Team had it in them to, like, make a game that is genuinely, like, if you like platformers, it's a must-play. Like, I can't believe I'm saying that. I wouldn't say that about any of them. I wouldn't say that about Sonic Generations. And I'm like, you gotta try this. Like, if you like platformers, you gotta fucking try this game. Is it totally perfect? No. Like, I think it's got issues. It's got flaws. But the biggest flaw for me, like, the worst thing I could say about this game, it has bad popping. That's like...
Oh, no. Not popping.
The fundamentals of the gameplay, though, are really, really fun. And
does it control well? Like,
yes, it controls better than it ever has. Sonic has more weight to him. You don't go flying off the fucking stage all the time accidentally. Like, they figured it out. They somehow figured it out. And they didn't, like, try to put everything to the A button. Like, you know, I mean, you guys have played these 3D Sonic games. Like, a lot of times it'll be like, jump is A, and the homing attack is A. And it's like, no, like, things have dedicated buttons so that you less likely of doing something stupid, you know what I mean? Like, or the game is interpreting what you want to do. So, yeah, the controls feel quite good. And what they did, how they figured out to make Sonic fresh and exciting is, let's rip off Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild. That's what this game is.
An open world.
Yeah, but like
shrines and stuff.
Yes, like, all right, it's hard for me to explain. I would say the thing at most copies, and I don't see this getting mentioned as much, is Mario Odyssey. It's very much structured like Mario Odyssey. So you think of Mario Odyssey, what is it? It's a series of open world levels, right? It's not an open world game. It's a series of open world levels with tons of shit to do in every direction. That's what this is. It's not one big open world. It's a series of them. And I will say, like, I'm only in the second world. The open world levels are fucking huge, dude. Like, you could explore them for a long time. I don't understand, like, if you look on how long to beat, it says, like, the game, like, main story, 12 hours. I'm like, how are you beating this game in 12 hours, dude?
You gotta go fast.
I'm not a completionist at all, and I'm just fucking around and having fun. I'm still in the second world. I've played for 13 hours. There's five worlds. How the fuck? What are you doing? That'd be like saying, you know, Tony Hawk is 48 minutes. I'm like, yeah, I guess maybe you could do that somehow, but, like, that's, I get a little bit more out of a Tony Hawk game than a 1 hour session. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't understand that playtime. Like, that seems so off to me. Like, even if you are playing even remotely normally through the game.
I mean, some of it is, I mean, the game just came out, what, Tuesday? Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah. I mean, that number's It's got to be at least 30 hours. Like, that's like an average time. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah, but the people that are already posting their times, they're like the crazies that like sit down and they just plow through something.
I guess, but it's not like it's not something you could like mainline skip all the side stuff. Now, like, there is literally hundreds of fucking things to do in every level, and you don't have to do them all, but you do have to do a certain amount of them. It's just like with like Odyssey, where it's like you need this certain amount of moons to do this and that, right? So I really don't know how.
The other thing with How Long to Beat is that it's kind of just like there's no metric for validating.
Yeah, but
your time,
it usually seems accurate to me.
Like, I think the more people put in, right, it like balances itself out. So it's like you don't know like who these people are. I normally go with like main plus sides as seeing like the middle ground, like you're gonna wander a little bit. Not sure what that one.
To me, it's like that's kind of the, like, at some point I let go playing this game, and then like the wandering and playing in the open world is very, very fun, and it's just like you just don't care. Like, I'll just get lost and be like, oh yeah, I've been playing for like 30 minutes. There, you could see the objective icon in the distance. I'm like, oh yeah, I was supposed to be going doing that. You know what I mean? Like, I've just been dicking around, sliding around on rails and jumping off springs and shit, you know? And the Breath of the Wild aspect is that there are these, like, you know, like in Breath of the Wild, you had the shrines, and those were like a little mini dungeon, right? And this kind of has that with, like, you know, you unlock like traditional Sonic levels. But I'd say they're closer to like what a traditional Sonic level is than the shrines were to a temple in Breath of the Wild. You get what I'm saying? Like, they're basically Sonic levels. They're just usually pretty short. You know, they're usually like 2 minutes. But like, I don't know, most Sonic levels, even in modern games, are usually a couple minutes. So,
yeah, I mean, the purpose of them is normally like you want to get through them as fast as possible. So,
yeah
they're not long.
Everything you do, there's so many different like collectible type things, but everything leads into another. None of it is like pointless. So the traditional Sonic levels, they all have like, I think 4 or 5 different goals for you, you know. So just beat the level, that's one, right? Beat the level with an S time score. An S score time. Beat the level, collect all 5 red rings in them. Each one of those things gives you a key, and so when you play the levels, you do want to get all 5 of those things, even if you have to play the level again or a few times to get all 5 of the goals, because you want those keys, because those keys unlock Chaos Emeralds, and that is how you beat the big open world you're on, is getting all the Chaos Emeralds, and that turns you into Supersonic for you to fight the gigantic boss at the end of the level.
Supersonic? And what is Supersonic?
Isn't he called Supersonic? The big floating yellow invincible Sonic?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's it. He floats. Ultra powerful.
Eight of this Chaos Emeralds.
It's like Mario when he gets the stars, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Giant Mario,
but also like, invincible. And I've only done the first levels, one where you like turn into him and have to beat the boss. And it's funny, you're like, I'm invincible. Like, how is this anything? Well, it's like you only have a certain amount of time that you're supersonic. So it's like, okay, I got it. That's the challenge here.
Not only Supersonic is in Sonic the Hedgehog 2, the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you folks not seen the movie?
I've not watched it yet. No.
I don't care. I like Sonic games. I saw the first Sonic movie. I wasn't like, oh, yeah, I need to see
it. Yeah, I thought it was fine. It was fine.
It was fine. It was totally fine. It's not like, I wasn't like, oh, great, that was a great movie, I want to see part 2. I didn't, you know.
I have it. Like, it's on Paramount or Peacock or one of those like streaming services. It's there. I just haven't sat down to watch it yet.
I was like, this is like for a video game adaptation, I'm like, this is an okay movie for kids. It wasn't anything like, I'm like, yes, I'm getting the Blu-ray or, you know, whatever.
Oh, no, that's fair. I mean, I just assumed that you guys had already seen that. Because, yeah, they're harmless, they're fun. And I think they were, like, one of the last movies before the pandemic, so.
I saw that first one. I do think I saw the first one in the theaters, and I felt super embarrassed about it. I think I even left by myself.
Oh, God.
I don't know why, because, like, I don't.
It's a better movie than, like, there's no reason to be embarrassed from it. It's
probably better than some of the stuff. I felt pretty embarrassed, because, like, I don't typically check out video game movies at all. I'm like, what's the fucking point? Like, the video games are usually ripping off some movie that was good to begin with. Why do I need to see, you know, Uncharted? You know, I saw Uncharted. It was called Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was great, you know. Whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I usually just don't care about video game movies. I think the one interesting one out of all of them, and I've skipped most of them, I thought Silent Hill, like the first Silent Hill, I was like, oh, there's some little artistry going on here. I didn't think it was very, I didn't think it was like great or anything, but I was like, oh, this almost feels art house, almost, so that's kind of neat. But anyways, getting off point here, I don't know where I was, but
anime supersonic.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think I gave you a sense of how, like, the game is structured and why it's fun. But, like, I just cannot describe to you, like, all I can tell you is, like, throw away what you think about the series, and if you're a platforming fan, this is a must play. Like, it's something you have to check out. Like, it's just, there's no other platformer that ever feels like Sonic, but it's like, here, hey, what if we did that, but it was good, and it's in an open world, and you just fuck around and have fun. And, like, there's some things I saw, like, I didn't watch many reviews, but, like, you know, the one thing that I saw other people say too, like, I don't know about the combat, though. And I'm like, I don't know. I think some of the combat is pretty good. Like, I think the enemies are, like, has interesting designs to them, like how you're supposed to beat them and stuff. Like, to me, there's, like, the one weak aspect is there's bad pop-up or pop-in or whatever, where it's like, stuff will be popping in like 20, 30 feet away from you, and you're just like, dear Lord, I can't even see what the fuck, who knows what's across the stage. The other thing is, like, there are a few puzzles that just fucking suck, but most of them are decent to okay. But, like, there is, like, man, like, you know, like, in Zelda, sometimes they make you do these mirror puzzles with light where you're, like, rotating mirrors and shining a light into another mirror, and you're trying to, like, do a puzzle with that. There's one like that here, but it's like every time it's like every time you turn a mirror, it's turning another mirror at the same time, and it, like, broke my brain trying to do it. I'm just like, oh, I fucking hate you. Like, I just can't adjust the mirrors how I want, because I always have to be thinking about how it's gonna adjust another mirror. And I finally just went and I'm like, I'm looking this up. And even just trying to follow a video on YouTube was hard to do, because my mirrors were already all fucked up to begin with. Like, they weren't like how they would be when you first find the puzzle. I'm just like, ah, this fucking sucks. I hate this. It, like, took me forever for no reason. There was one, like, so there's these, to unlock the traditional Sonic levels, you have to fight, like, you have to get these gears, like, you have to collect gears. And to get those, you typically, like, sometimes they're just hidden around the stage, like, or around the open world, like, you might just find them in a box or whatever. But most of them you're going to get from fighting, like, these mini bosses that roam around the open world. And there was in the first level, there was a mini boss I thought was really tough. Like, surprisingly tough, I thought. I did eventually get him and got his gear and then open up the next, you know, traditional Sonic level. But I do think that I don't think I had to fight that mini boss. If I wanted to give up, I could have probably found another one somewhere else. Or from what I've been told is, like, every few day night cycles in the game, all the enemies reset. So you could just go find another boss, like a little mini boss you've defeated already, and get a gear off him to unlock the level. So, but at the point when I fought this boss, I did not know any of this. And I was like, I guess I have to do them, because I'm like, I need a gear to open up the next, like, you know, traditional Sonic level. And I'm like, well, I guess I have to get this. And it took me many tries to get them. I finally did. But also, I don't even know that you have to do all the traditional Sonic levels in an area. I just want to do them because I like to play them. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, in the second world I'm in now, which is a desert, I've found level 2-4 and level 2-7. I'm like, there's a bunch of levels out there I haven't even found yet. And I feel like I've, like, progressed pretty far towards the end of this level. So, I don't know. I guess I'll know more definitively as I go on if you have to do all the traditional Sonic levels or what percentage of stuff here is optional. But I'm having so much fun now on the second level that I'm not even so worried about progressing so much. I'm just like, every time I turn on the game, I'm having fun. And it's just like, I can't think of a higher compliment for a game, especially like for a series like this and a developer like this that's just like really struggled to figure out what to do with this franchise. It's kind of blowing my mind. I cannot. And I don't know, you guys are on Twitter, so I'm sure you've seen other people saying the same thing. It's not me being crazy. Like, it's actually good. Like, I know I got that one weird, insanely bad review, like 1 out of 5 stars or something from, like, I think it's called Digital Trends. I think that guy is nuts. Like, that makes no sense, dude. I understand if it's not your thing, but a one star, this is not a 1-star game. Like, I don't know. But I'll shut up.
I mean, that seems excessive. Like, but yeah, you know, people will always make those contrarian.
Yeah, they're hot takes.
Yeah, just to drive themselves some viewers.
It's like, you know, I guess I could see like something like IGN gave it like a 7. I guess I could see that, but for me personally, like, at least so far, I'm like, this game is an 8 minimum. So I think I've droned on long enough about Sonic Frontiers, but like, I was looking forward to it, but I there's always a level of irony to that, like, where it's like, yeah, I'm gonna of course get the new Sonic, but of course, you know, it's gonna suck, obviously, right? But like, I just couldn't believe when I actually played it that it was like as fun and as functional as it is. Like, I'm like, oh wow, they figured this out, and it's something new and fresh. Like,
well, I'm glad you are enjoying it. Maybe I will try it out at some point.
I think you'll dig it.
I mean, it sounds like I will like it more than previous 3D Sonic games, so which I haven't enjoyed. So.
Yeah, you've enjoyed some of them, haven't you? Like Generations, maybe.
Yeah, Generations was like a split, though, wasn't it? It was like half and half. Yeah. If I remember correctly.
This will do that too with the traditional Sonic levels. Okay. Some of them are 2D.
That's neat.
Yeah.
How? Because I know the characters are in it. How do you see much of them? Like the side characters.
Yeah, lots of them. Okay. So like, the main collectible that's everywhere. Like, think of like the moons in Mario. Like the stuff that's just like it's fucking everywhere. That is used to unlock talking to them more, essentially, and then you have to like. Have to do that to advance the story in parts. So like in the second zone I am in, tons of talking to Knuckles. Just keep, you know, collect more of these things to go talk to Knuckles again, and then like he'll pop up somewhere else in the open world, and you'll go up to him, it'll show like you need 16 more moons or whatever the fucking thing is to talk to him again, and like, yeah. You kind of have to do that, but like, dude, just by exploring and going around, you're gonna be finding these things constantly. Sometimes you'll find like fucking 6 of them or 8 of them at a time. Like, so there's a lot. Like, you know, cutscene heavy. So like, if you're into that shit,
cutscene in a Sonic game.
Yeah, I'm starting to skip them a little bit.
What's in the cutscene? I mean, are they?
You know, Doctor fucking what's his name? What's the bad guy's name? Eggman. Robotnik. Is he Robotnik now, or is he Eggman now?
I mean, it's both. He's supposed to be Dr. Ivo Robotnik, but Eggman is a name that Sonic gives him. I always found it weird that in canon, he's just like, yeah, Sonic makes fun of me by calling me this. I'm going to accept it. So my name's Eggman.
Okay. Yeah, so Doctor, you know, seeing, I don't know. Who fucking cares about the story in these games? Like, especially a game like this, like, really, when I watch a review of like a Mario game or a Sonic game, like, it's always like, yeah, it's kind of the standard thing you expect from this. Like, yeah, dude, no fucking shit. It's just an excuse for me to run around and jump on shit. Like, who fucking cares? Like, and I know that there are the Sonic fans that are like super, super into all the Sonic shit, but I'm just like, I'm not playing Sonic the Hedgehog for the story, dude. Like, I'm just. It seems so absurd. So that's what I say, like, I'm a Sonic fan, but it's like, I'm not, like.
Which is also kind of ironic, because I don't think we have this in news, but I don't know if you saw, like, Sega's hiring somebody to manage Sonic lore. I guess we all need easy jobs.
I'm kind of with Jeff. I was like, who cares? Like,
no,
I was like, there's people that. The people that
it's nuts,
you know, like Mario games are pretty brief with their cutscenes because they kind of know it's just an excuse. Okay, Bowser stole Peach again or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, this is the setup. Now you have to play through all these levels and go kill Bowser. And it's like with Sonic, there's way more fucking talking bullshit, and there is a lot of that in this. Here's another knock I could give against the game. Whoever voiced Sonic is not the right person. It's not the same guy. His voice sounds completely different, dude. So if that's a thing that'll bother you, you will notice it. I noticed it. And again, this is something I don't care about. I don't know who is voicing this. It's got to be a different actor.
Who voiced the original Sonic?
I mean, he's been a few pieces, I think. I want to say
Robert. He has a certain voice, though, you know? Like, this is like a deep voice. Like, it doesn't sound right at all. Sounds like some dude like that fucking showed up at your house like, hey, dude. Like, you don't sound like Sonic. Anyways, get it, guys. I'm sure that, I bet you Sonic will go on sale in a couple of weeks.
Currently voiced by somebody named Roger Craig Smith.
Okay, so it is the same person.
That did Frontiers.
Yep. Yep, did Frontiers.
I guess his balls dropped. I don't know. It does not sound like the same guy at all, dude. It stuck out to me as someone who does not care.
Yeah, he did the voice in Sonic Colors.
He's been doing it for a while.
He does some of the TV stuff. Maybe he just went with a different voice for it this time around.
Jeff's ears don't work as the same way.
I'm standing by. I just Googled Sonic Frontier. Sonic's voice different. And it just comes up. If his voice sounds familiar to you, that's because he's played by Sonic Veteran. He's voiced him in dozens of games, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so I guess it is the normal guy, but man, like.
It seems off.
It didn't sound anything like Sonic to me. Like. Maybe I had the. Did he do the movie too?
No, the movie is Ben Schwartz.
Maybe I have like the movie guy's voice in my head.
I mean, it could be that. It could be the older cartoons, like, you know, Urkel did it for a few. But yeah, I mean, and to be fair, it can also be anything. Like, if you played 06 or Adventure, that was before his time. He came on with. I mean, his first one was Sonic Colors.
I've played all. I keep up on this series, and his voice always sounds consistent to me. And I guess that makes sense because it's always this guy. But he does sound this on this game. It sounds different to me, but I guess I'm wrong.
Well, I don't think the voice of Sonic, much like the lore of Sonic.
Really matters. It does. Ultimately, yeah, exactly. What matters here is the game is like good and it's different, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, well, I'm glad you are enjoying it. The other big game from this week, Tony has
Boy Part 2.
Boy Part 2, The Teenage Boy. Years.
Boy.
Boy yeah. Part 2, The Brahms. Or what is.
What? Ragnarok?
Ragnarok, yes, that's it.
Or Ragnarok.
How is the god of war Ragnaroks?
So if you liked the first game, if you really enjoyed the first game, it is very, 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 very similar. So far, the game starts off with you and Boy are in hiding after the events of the first game because you're like Odin's pissed at you. And Odin and Thor, because you killed Thor's son. And so Thor is very unhappy with you. So you're in hiding. They track you down. There is a really, really cool boss battle with Thor to start off the game. That really gets things like going. I saw a lot of people tweeting about how the game starts kind of slow. The game starts with you like under attack by the goddess whose son you killed at the end of the first game. And you, like fleeing on a sled. I'm like, how is this a slow start to the game? I am immediately, like, in the realm of combat. And then it throws you into this fight against Thor, which is absurd. And, like, he, like, throws you into another realm. Like, it's a really, really cool boss battle. I mean, the gameplay is exactly the same as the previous game. You have the axe. You start off with the axe. You have the Blades of Chaos almost immediately. You don't have them at the very beginning, but you get them pretty close. And you have the shield. So it's very, very, very similar idea there. If you didn't like, and I know Chris is waiting here, but if you didn't like Atreus in the first game,
yep.
He pretty well sucks here too.
Oh, great!
Can't wait. He's a snotty teenager. He's doing stuff behind his dad's back. He lies to his face.
Oh, he's like boy.
He's not so much boy here, but on the other hand,
boy.
The funny thing is Kratos has his back. He's with him through thick and thin. He's going to support him, even though he has lied to him and he's upset and angry. There's also, I don't want to spoil the story. If you're actually going to play the game, it is quite interesting what's going on. It does a lot of exploring the life of Atreus' mother and Kratos' wife. So you figure you learn more about who she was, which is kind of a subject. I don't even know if the first game got into it at all. Like, she's just dead and they're mourning her.
Yeah, I don't. They kind of implied that she may have been a giant.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think they've really got into who she was personally. Yeah,
you do get to explore, like, you get to meet her in. And like in a flashback type area. So you find out who she was, and then you learn things about like what she did before she met Kratos. And I'm assuming that this is a theme that goes across the whole game. I'm maybe 6-7 hours in so far. It does have that the same like structure as the previous game, where there is a very clear path forward. But there are also areas where you can diverge from that path and do some mild exploration and do some side quests.
Minor puzzle type thingies, I think.
Right, those
throw your axe at targets or something.
No, that stuff is all back. Odin's ravens are back. It's like this is like it's not revolutionary. Like, if you played the first game, you're going to recognize this game instantly. It's not there's nothing so far that I can tell new here. There are some, like, you know, slight changes to the combat and, like, very, very minor changes to the abilities. But, like, it's the exact same structure. You know, walk around, you get loot, which allows you to upgrade your weapons or buy new ones. You're still dealing with the same dwarfs from the last game, who have their little shops set up at the doorway points that you find. I mean, it's very, very certainly more of the same.
But that's very solid ground to start on, I think. Oh, yeah. I enjoyed that game. If I get a PS5, this is probably the first game I'm buying.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I have heard that it is the most attractive game on PS4 also. But no, it looks absolutely stunning on PS5. So definitely a feast for the eyes. So I like it. I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm really into it. I'm excited to play more, because obviously I haven't gotten very far. The boss battles are really cool. So far I haven't fought any, like, mega giant things, but
you fight more than just the same dude over and over again.
It is definitely more than the same dude over and over again. Like I mentioned fighting Thor earlier. I have not fought Thor again since then. Like, he's not a recurring problem.
And to be fair to the original, like, I mean, you fought Baldur like 3 times in that game, yeah. But you didn't just fight Baldur. Like, you fought the twins, you fought there was a dragon that was like,
you the fought other things. Coolest one in the game, like, it was the most memorable one.
It was the most, like, old God of War.
Yeah. There are some very interesting boss fights here. I'm not going to spoil them, since you will probably play this, but they're good so far. None of them are epically large or epically huge. In fact, there's a point at which Atreus asks Kratos, what's the biggest thing you ever fought? And he's like, why are you asking? And Atreus is like, I want to compare.
That's kind of funny. Yeah, like, he literally fought a titan. Like, you climbed up a titan to kill him. So, yeah. I think he wins. all right, well, I'm glad that I think the earlier reviews kind of indicated that was a good game. I'm glad you are enjoying it. I'll probably wait on it a little bit. There's so much to play anyway. It's not like I'm in a rush to go get it. And we have, like, what, the Callisto Protocol in less than a month at this point, so I think I'm good. Jeff, you finished Modern Warfare 2? Did you finish that?
I did. Yeah.
And you are fully on board. I think that's a good Call of Duty game.
I thought it was a really great campaign. I actually kind of, there's nothing, like, special about the story, but it kind of, like, you know me with stories of video games. Like, I at least, like, kind of knew what was going on. I knew who the bad guy was. I kind of got the twists that happened. I was, like, into it, you know. There was a cool Chicago level that kind of ends on, I guess, spoiler, whatever, who cares. I think each level had some interesting different spin on it. It was never just like a level of, like, oh, push forward and kill all the guys in front of you. There was always just something different, some cool objective you're trying to do. I guess some of them, I knew this in a way, but it came up in our group chat. It's like, there's a whole level where you're fucking doing air support, and everyone's like, yeah, dude, you fucking do that in, like, the original Modern Warfare.
That's like a Call of Duty. Like,
you do that in almost every single one.
And I do remember doing that in other ones of them, but I just thought this one was cool as shit. That, like, I don't remember it being, like, a whole level and other things. I just remember it being, like, a thing you would do for a second. But regardless, one way or another, it doesn't change how I feel about the fact that, like, oh, this is cool. Oh, this is cool. Like, you're just bouncing from one cool thing to the other. Have you ever fallen out of a helicopter and your foot got caught on a strap and you're hanging upside down from the helicopter as you're going down a highway shooting at fucking trucks? Have you ever done that in Call of Duty?
Is this a Michael Bay movie?
They basically are.
Call of Duty games are basically Michael Bay movies at this point.
So there's
I don't know if you've ever done that specific thing, but
There's a level where the first half of the level, that's what you're doing, and then you finally like cut the strap and fall on top of a moving truck, and then you are driving the truck and sometimes popping out of the window to shoot other people on other trucks, and then when your truck gets too badly damaged, you have to fucking get out of your truck and jump to another and hijack another truck. Again, very fun and exciting, and like a Michael Bay movie.
I've been a while, but Call of Duty used to be a realistic shooter, right?
I mean, there's things that are, but like it always delivers the big blockbuster action.
But I mean, it's not a sim, but I mean, it's a franchise that started out as a war shooter.
The first couple were like historical war shooting, World War II.
But now it's a Michael Bay movie.
It kind of has been since Modern Warfare, the original one.
Like the tech will be real, you know what I mean? And it's like the guns will probably feel right. But yeah, it's like, dude, here's some awesome fucking shit to do. Like,
Ever since like Modern Warfare and then the first Black Ops, I think it's always been like it's become a violence roller coaster, like, or an action movie roller coaster. Like it's. This one looks like you might have a little bit more freedom, Jeff, and how you were describing things, but it's normally like here's your path, you shoot stuff, and
there are things that it could play out different, or whatever, but it's like cleverly scripted to where I guess you'd have to try to fuck around and see like, oh, could I do something really different here? But you're basically the thing you think that you should do, you're going to do, and it plays into this scripted, awesome, fun thing. I thought it's really great.
Played any of the multiplayer?
I played a bunch of it. Yeah. I think I'm like level 20 something.
Right.
And, I'm my typical, I'm the guy in the bottom half of the list at the end of the match.
Yeah, it's fine.
And if I'm like really drunk, I'm the guy in the bottom. And that I forgot it was one night this week. I was like, I guess I'm pretty drunk. And I'm like, I'm doing terrible. I'm like, why am I still playing this game? Like, I played like two matches. I'm like, all right, dude, you are absolutely fucking worthless right now. Go do something else. You know what you do? You go to bed.
That's right. Good call.
But sometimes you have a really good match, and you're like, I could do this. The multiplayer I think is as good as ever. I don't know what else to really say about it. Like,
I just wanted to check in because I thought I had heard you beat it. So
yeah, and I'm still playing. I like this is a series that like I hated for a while, especially when I worked at GameStop, but. And I think there has been years in the past where it's like not that interesting or kind of lackluster or skippable. But for me, like the last 3 years, they've all been rock solid games and just a lot of fun. And yeah, it's a $70 game, but sometimes you get what you pay for. And I think you really do get your money's worth on these games. Like,
I think in terms of a complete package, Call of Duty has been one of them for a few years. For sure.
And I think even if you were just buying this game, like this one specifically for the campaign, it's like, I feel like the campaign is long enough and such high quality that it's hard to like argue with how great it looks and sounds and everything. It's like, okay, why wouldn't this be a $70 game? You know what I mean? Like, this is worth it. Like, and I had a blast, so I don't know, man. I feel like none of you guys have bought this game in a few years. You're missing out.
I bought Vanguard, but
did not get
much into it. And that's not any fault of the games. I just didn't.
I dug Vanguard. I think the campaign is here is better than Vanguard, but it's always fun to me to play through a World War II shooter. And the multiplayer in that I really loved because one of the, you know, you get these things called field upgrades that kind of like just show up after you've played for long enough in a match. One of the field upgrades in Vanguard was a little remote control tank that you could blow up. That was so much fun for me. I don't think I ever moved on from that field upgrade. It was always just like, yes, I got the tank now. I'm going to roll up on these guys and, you know, fucking blow myself up. Yeah, I think the one before Vanguard, the Black Ops Cold War, I thought that was a really solid campaign.
Yep.
I think this one is also a really solid campaign. So, you know, if you want a shooter, I think these games are great. Just, they're feel so tight. You know, that Call of Duty feel.
Yeah, and the maps are normally really well designed for like that type of combat and multiplayer and
good progression.
The progression is still maybe the best thing they have going.
That's great. You're constantly like doing new attachments and new perks, you know.
Cuz like they've expanded it from just like your level going up to like everything levels up
now. Yeah,
like
your guns
level up, like everything. So you're always getting something. In a few matches.
The problem with that is that like I get then invested in that gun, and I'm like, you're like unlocking all these new guns. Yeah. I'm like, well, no, this is my gun. And you know, very early on in this, I got the carry two primary weapons perk, and I'm just like set on the M4 and whatever fucking shotgun I have. And that's it. And I'm just like upgrading those. And it's like, you should experiment a little, like just check out these other guns. And I don't, you know.
Maybe if I normally like
play all day on it, I probably would, but
I like lock into like an assault rifle I like. Yep, and that's it. Like,
yep. I do like, dude, the shotgun. That's why I have to have the two primaries, because shotgun is considered a primary. And I love being able to switch to it when I'm inside of a house or something. Oh, man, it's so much fucking fun.
Oh, yeah, if you're in close quarters, man, the shotgun.
One shot kills. One shot kills, yeah.
All right, well, Call of Duty, it has been a decent fall after it's been a rough year for games.
Yeah, it's been a rough year, but these are a few really fun games for me the last couple of weeks.
I finished Guardians of the Galaxy. That game's good enough. I mean, the game part, not so great, as we talked about last week, but the characters and story are fun. Characters are excellent in that game. Really, really well written. Some excellent dialogue. The combat is mediocre at its best, but I enjoyed playing through it. It is, you know, it's about 20 hours or so, 15, 20 hours. So I had a good time with that one. And then I started a new game called The Chant, which is a, let's say it's a B tier survival horror game. Like, it's like a game that we don't get a whole lot of anymore. It is very much survival horror. You have very limited resources as you're kind of like exploring the area that you're in. And basic premise of it is you play this girl, Jess, and she goes to this island for a retreat, like a spiritual retreat. And in first like session that you have, something bad happens, and these like cosmic nightmare monsters kind of pop out of into existence on the island. Based on the crystals that you have, it's kind of how you fight them or combat against them. And like you'll craft like little weapons and stuff to fight off the monsters, and you're dealing with all sorts of, like, you have a mind meter and a actual physical body meter and a spirit meter. And those are kind of your different powers that you can use to fight these things with your weapons. It's a little janky, maybe more than a little janky, because it's like one of those B tier games. But I'm actually enjoying it. It's just, it is weird when you, like, you walk up to a character and, like, you'll have a whole kind of dialogue thing, the incidental, like, it's scripted. But then, like, you'll come up later and, like, that person will just be standing there staring at you, like, she's not doing anything. It's like, it's a little weird, like, because now I'm just, like,
talk to them again, or are they just, like, frozen in time there?
No, they're just kind of, like, frozen, like, they're not doing anything, or they're having dialogue to themselves, and you're just ignoring it as you're, like, searching the area for shit. Like, it's a little weird, like, because you put all this effort into making these characters, and there's not a lot of them. So it is weird that you would give me this open world type exploration time, and then, like, you can't even press, like, A to kind of interact with them. They're just like another object in the world. I don't know. It seems pretty cool. It also seems pretty short from what I can see here. There's an achievement for beating it under 4 hours. My guess probably is, like, for most players, myself included, it's probably like a 6-7 hour game.
Which is, you know, that's the length of a survival horror.
Usually. Yeah. And it's at like $40. I think it ended up getting, like, you know, mostly sixes and sevens, and that seems about right from reviews. I kind of like the setting, this, like, guru spiritual retreat cult thing going on, and the monsters are kind of cool. They're all these, like, weird, you know, cosmic horror type shit, like Cthulhu coming out and attacking you and shit. So it's kind of neat.
Is it your first person, third person?
It's a third person game. So you're like exploring. It's like back, over the shoulder. And I kind of prefer that. Like, there's so many horror games recently that are first person. It's like, I kind of prefer third person horror.
I don't know why, when it comes to survival horror, I much prefer third person.
Yeah.
It's like a good survival horror is about just, like, exploring a map and
yeah.
And, you know, solving puzzles. So it's like, I don't need to be immersed, like, in that first person view. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't make sense, but I just prefer it, man. Like,
is something here. Like, you are solving puzzles. They're not, like, super hard. It's like, oh, here's this door, and, like, you have to, you know, find the correct key.
Perfect. That's what I want.
Or it's like, here's, like, this. There's this geometric shape on the door, and, like, you have to find the items to, like, put them into that shape, and then that unlocks that door. Like, they're not, like, super complex puzzles. Like, I wouldn't even say they're, like, you know, some of the goofy Resident Evil puzzles. It's much simpler than that, but it is neat. So it's like, I gotta solve this stupid arcane thing. It doesn't make any sense for me to progress here, while, like, trying to avoid some of these monsters, because you have limited, resources. The weapons that you craft only last for a short period of time. So it gets a little tense when, you know, you have these, like, weird bee creatures chasing after you, and you can't kill it. Like, it's just kind of like, it's like that giant guy in Resident Evil 2, Mr. X. Where, like, you'll hear the buzzing and you'll know that the thing's in the area, so you have to be careful, and then, like, you run away. It also has, like, a sanity meter that if, like, you're in the dark for too long, you start losing, you'll lose your mind meter. And if that hits zero, you have, like, a panic attack where you can't do it. You basically can't do anything. You need to run, get yourself into the light, and calm down. Because you can't attack anything during a panic attack. You just have to escape. It has, like, some neat ideas to it, I think. And I don't know. It's a budget title. It'll be super budget, I bet, relatively shortly. So,
What was that one? There's another one that's getting some buzz. I think it's called Signalis.
Signalis. I haven't tried that one yet. Walt played a little bit of it. That's like a pixelated kind of like PlayStation 1 type.
Like
original Resident Evil 1 and 2.
Okay.
But it takes place on like an ice planet, and it seems like it's kind of like a little bit thing based.
Okay. I think Javi hit me up to say, hey, Twitter, like, try it out. But then there's also, getting away from Survival Horror, there's another game you told me to check out, which I think I downloaded.
Oh, Proteus.
Maybe I didn't download that, but I couldn't remember the name.
Yep.
That's Proteus, like a Metroid.
Ghost Song or Ghost Story?
Ghost Song. Yeah. Ghost Song sounds right.
Yeah, it's a Metroid, like a 2D Metroid type game.
You played that, or you just saw it?
No, I looked at it and was like, and all the reviews were like,
it's
Super Metroid.
I literally just typed in, like, I just Googled the title and like the description that popped up. I'm like, oh yeah, this is a Jeff game.
Yeah,
but that sounds
definitely up your alley.
Some of these like small games like Signalis or Ghost Song right now, it's like, I hate to be a dick to them, but like, I got actually some big games to play for once, you know, and so I'm going to play them, and I will get around to these others for sure.
The good news is that like though, like games like Signalis and Ghost Song, they're on Game Pass right now.
Yeah, I got them ready to go. You know?
Yeah, like after Callisto Protocol, we might have some time to sit down and play some of these.
Yeah, so...
But there's so many like other big games that are out right now that kind of spending some time on these like little indie games might not have the time for.
Hey, I'm excited to check them out, but when I spend $70 on Call of Duty, guess what I'm doing?
You're gonna put your money into it, and Tony's gonna put his money in. He's gonna you paid $70 for God of War. He's gonna play it.
Although, sorry, Bayonetta, I haven't touched you in a while.
Excuse me?
Nothing? What? Earl, you playing Bayonetta?
I have not played.
I got not bought any of these games because I'm waiting for that golden parachute of a buy two, get one free sale. Or whatever.
Approaching it. Have you played anything this...
I have played video games. I play video games from time to time.
Yeah.
New video games. I don't think it's new in the sense. It's new to me. I'm trying to see when it came out. But it's on Game Pass. It's a game called Space Signs from the Far Out. Oh, it did come out this year. Have any of you ever played... crap. Love is in a Dangerous Space-Time or something like that?
Yes.
I downloaded it once.
But it's a game where like, you're all kind of...
you're trying to like fly a spaceship around.
Like you and a partner, right? Like working together type thing. Yeah. I'm familiar with what it is. I've not played it.
So this is not exactly it, but the concept... It's kind of like that meets Overcooked. So you are a transporter ship. You're a cruise ship, essentially, in space. That takes people from one destination to another. And in that time, you're driving the ship. You're actually navigating and avoiding asteroids and stopping for fuel and stuff like that. But you're also trying to keep these people happy. So some of them might want to be fed. They might want to use the restroom. They might need entertainment. So you're trying to like, navigate them to their space while also running around and make sure that they are getting their needs met. So that the better you take care of their needs, the better they feel, the better tip you get, the higher your ranking gets, your stars go up. So it's like one of those resource management games where, again, you have a ship, it has a finite amount of fuel, and you can only refuel at certain places. So it's not even like one of those games where it's like, oh, I made it to like a checkpoint, it's gonna refuel, and then I'll go out on my way. Like the ship we start off with, and you can buy multiple ships, I guess. It's a roguelite-esque game. It has three fuel cells, and that gets depleted pretty quickly. But it's like you have to manage the money, You also have to manage your energy because it has a reactor. The reactor has the power to ship, has the power to steering wheel, has the power to navigate, has the power to cook, the grill, the bathroom, and a bunch of stuff. So like, it's also managing, like, okay, we're going to take off the bathroom offline real quick because we need to cook food for people. Or we're going to have to take off navigation because we're kind of set the course. There's nothing in our way for like maybe a minute or two. So we have some time to kind of do stuff because we have finite power. And certain stuff takes more power than other, but it's like managing all of that at once and making sure everybody's happy. So yes. And then again, like you use the bathroom, and this is something we learned the hard way. Our ship does not have any cleaning facilities.
Oh no.
So the bathroom got used, and it gets used, if it gets used enough, it's unusable for a while. And people will then go to the bathroom and get, like, they will, like, because of the smell, they get sick and they throw up, which you didn't have to clean up, but again, no cleaning facility. So it's like a domino effect. And then what happens with that is, like, if you get bad reviews, you get an inspector who comes aboard your ship. And now you're trying to distract the inspector from finding anything wrong with your ship because he will dock you, keep these people happy, and get to a destination. So it's like running around and doing like three or four different things at once. Like you're cooking, you're dancing, you're changing the energy, you're navigating the ship. It's very weird. It's not weird. It's just very stressful, but I had a ton of fun with it. It's very simple. Like I said, it is a roguelike, so it does seem like, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's like, say the Spire, but it has that kind of setup in a horizontal way. So you start off on a path and it's like one, two, you have easy destinations, and then that starts branching off. And then it's like, okay, you can go left or right. And then like, it's like very similar, but one might be slightly further away, which means you'll use more fuel, but you might get more ticket. You might get more passengers, or you might get more money per ticket, which is, a risk you want to take. You might have a parcel, which gives you unlockables, like costumes or different, logos for your company. Or you might find one that's like, okay, this is a docking station. So you can go there. That's where you can refuel, where you can upgrade, you can save money in the bank and stuff like that. So again, it's a lot of like those mini decisions. And you can never go backwards, you're always going forward. So it's always like you got it. If you're picking a path, you also have to look at like what's gonna be like the next three or four things after that as well. Do you have enough fuel? Do you have enough money to refuel on the way? Are you gonna run into an asteroid field? Which I did, and I did not know how to navigate it, so I just took the hit in my ship. And that knocked out the power, which knocked out the anti-gravity. And when I put the gravity back on, all of my customers smacked the ground. One of them got injured. No way to fix them. Did not get great reviews on that trip. But yes, I've been sort of friends, so we kind of divvy up tasks, and it's really ridiculous and fun and stressful. So I would say check it out. Like I said, it is on Game Pass right now.
All right.
And then, of course, my current addiction still remains Marvel Snap, which got so bad that I actually ended up buying this season pass for Spider-Man. Because I hit level 50. I'm like, if I'm already there, I might as well buy it and get all the stuff. And now they're doing Black Panther, so I'm working my way through that. We'll see if I buy that as well. But again, the game is just, I think it's when I initially talked about it, it's a really fun and addictive game. I think the loop is very simple. I mean, I've been playing the games while we've been recording. They're like maybe 2-3 minutes long. And what they do, and I think works out well for them, is that it's not necessarily that they introduce new cards constantly. It's that they introduce new spaces. And like I said, those spaces really do change the dynamic, because whatever spaces you get, like that changes your play style. That like you might focus on one area over the other, and adding those spaces doesn't change the game radically, because again, you have all the old ones as well. But it's something like the one this week is it's Siri Zab, which I think is anytime. I think it's like +2 for any card that's played here or something like that, which just means like, oh, you might want to save it to the late game and put all your high level cards in there so they get +2 health. There's the Kronan app, which there's a card called Devil Dinosaur. And when you play it, it gets +2 for any card in your hand. So that's a card you want to save for the end, because then it's a power will fluctuate throughout the game, because like if you play three cards in one turn, then it's gonna go down. But if you save up a bunch of cards to the end, like I have Moon Girl, and Moon Girl, like when you play her, she duplicates your hand. So I'm like, okay, she's your turn four, play that, and then Devil Dinosaur. But again, because it's random, you have a deck of 12, you pull cards out, you don't know what you're going to get. It's like you can develop this strategy and never get those cards. So it's again, I just find it such a remarkably fun card game, and it's sad to say that this is probably on the contenders for one of my game of the year. So
that sounds like a lot of fun and also super addictive. So I will not be joining you on that.
I know.
Anything else?
I think that's that for me.
I mean, that's a lot of addiction right there. So.
It is
so much addiction.
Like I'm finding myself like I mean TMI. Like I'm at the bathroom at work. I'm like, I can just play a game or two while I'm in here, right? and nothing else is going on. So yeah, it does kill my battery down. So
all right. No, there was a whole lot of news. I didn't write anything down. Nothing kind of caught my eye. So.
Yeah,
you guys hear about what happened on Twitter?
In the last 2 hours, or
no? Like this guy, it's got a new owner now, Elon Musk.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced Musk.
I'm assuming that none of you watched this because I didn't. The Indie Direct that was this week.
No,
Updated Nintendo's Twitter account as it was going on. I saw absolutely fucking nothing that caught my eye.
Not Mario giving the finger.
Well, that different I did Nintendo. See that as well. Yeah.
I've not seen anything. The only thing I've seen that people have mentioned is Sports Story finally has a. I don't think it has a release date. It has a release. It's coming out next month. Which is a sequel to Golf Story. I don't know if any of you played that.
I played Golf Story and I expected to love it, and I didn't. So, did you play it, Earl?
I did, and yeah, I didn't love it either, because I was like, Golf RPG, then it's like, oh, it's a Golf RPG.
Which is like, I like that. Like, I thought that, I put Mario Golf Advanced Tour in the Hall of Fame on here, and that's what that is. But I thought that the golf wasn't good enough in Golf Story, and so I was just like, I personally did not like Golf Story, so I have no interest in. Hey, here's a bunch of other sports that are poorly done. My opinion. I know people like Golf Story, so
yeah. I mean, it has its fans, so.
The Halo winter update did go out. I didn't have a chance to check it.
Oh, right. Netflix announced the Gears of War TV show and movie?
Yeah, they did. I had forgotten about that.
Which is, I Gears of War, I'm just, and Gears of War is unique, don't get me wrong, but I'm also just like, there's no good way. Like, I love Gears of War. It's a really fun and fun. But it is going to be highly problematic to translate. It is just a bunch of buff dudes shooting stuff.
Yeah.
There is story there.
There's story and stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of backstory and stuff you can explore. It's just like, it's not that deep. But
no.
This
is why I say, like, stop adapting video games. Although, you know what? I'd say that, but you know what looks great is The Last of Us, the HBO show.
I will say, I'm here for them to recreate. Is it Marcus who dies in Gears 3 to Dom?
Marcus, the main character.
Yes, okay. I need them to recreate that in live action. I need that moment. Same song and everything.
Oh God! Please no.
Yes, the sad emo cover of the show running. Yes, everything.
I need them to recreate in Gears 2 where Dom kills his wife, and then not 20 minutes later, he's fine again. Yeah. He's back and joking. Like, I mean, he's sad for like a level after it, like as you're going through the castle, but then once you're done that, he's like back to normal.
That's how it goes.
It's like you shoot your wife because she's now a husk of a person, and you mourn for 20 minutes and you're back to normal. It's so dumb. But evidently you're so upset that in Gears 3 you start a tomato farm, and then because your wife is dead, you sacrifice yourself so that Marcus and the team can escape. There's been everybody's out there with their casting of it. I guess they all want Dave Bautista.
I mean, his fucking head looks like Marcus Fenix.
Yeah, so, he kind of does. And Gears 5, I think it was Gears 5, had the, like, you, there was like a skin that was for Marcus that was Dave Bautista. Like, it just basically looks like fucking Marcus. Who's that? The Terry Crews keeps coming up as Coltrane, although the actual guy who voices Coltrane kind of also, like, and I mean, he is big, like the guy who voices
kind of looks also, like the
dude. Yeah, he is, like, he kind of just embodies Cole already, so I don't think you can go wrong there. And I don't know if I saw anybody like doing casting for Baird. Somebody said The Rock for Dom, which I think is just not a good go on that. But also, I don't think The Rock is going to come and do your Netflix TV show.
No.
Especially not with Dave Bautista. I don't think those two get along. Live action movie, right, Earl? I think is what they announced, and then a TV show. The TV show, I don't know if that's live action or not, though.
Probably.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'll watch it. I watched all that Halo show and didn't hate that. So.
You watched all the fucking Resident Evil show, too, didn't you?
I'm kind of like
I got canned.
That's annoying, yeah, because it's like it ends kind of on a cliffhanger. It's like, cool. Just wasted 8 hours of my life. It's never going to get a resolution.
It's not wasted. It's experience.
Yeah, you had a good time.
Did he, though?
It looked bad to me. I don't know.
It was fine. It just, like, it never got Resident Evil, right? Like, it was all a setup for eventually moving to, like, the Resident Evil nonsense.
Was it? Because I thought it started after Resident Evil nonsense.
Well, yeah, but then like
you the made ending more Resident Evil nonsense.
Yes, so it was like this. So yeah, Raccoon City had already happened. All the stuff in Resident Evil 5, probably all the Resident Evil stuff had already happened at that point. And Umbrella was kind of reforming themselves. When another outbreak happens, because of course, you know, Umbrella can't not fuck around and find out. And at the end of the Resident Evil TV show, in the past portion. Oh no, did we lose?
Oh people? God, booty call!
Oh, we lost Earl. Okay, hey, Earl left. At the end of the Resident Evil TV show, like, they introduce, like, that you're going to go see Ada Wong, and I think they name drop, like, Chris Redfield and stuff. So it was like, you're going to get to, like, the Resident Evil stuff you want in the next series, but they're never going to get to the next series. So, yeah. Netflix, not a source for trusting to continue the stories they started. Unless you're The Witcher, true. And they're going to continue that one,
even after new character should die. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I don't think there's much other news going on. So, We will be back next week. Tony will likely play more God of War.
This is true.
We'll play some other stuff coming up on Thanksgiving. Maybe we will know the Black Friday sales next week. Find out if Elden Ring
finally
on sale.
You can get it for $52 in like 7 different places.
I genuinely can't wait for you guys to get that, because like for real.
If I can't get it for $30, I'm not getting it. I'm just telling you this right now.
If you can't get it for $30?
That's right.
Well, if you do get it, this goes to you, to Chris, fucking call me to come play with you, dude. Like, I will fucking come play with you for sure, and we'll fucking fuck shit up. It'll be fun.
If I get it, I will very much likely call you to come and kill everything for me.
It'll be, and I will, and that will help you, you know, level up and stuff. And I will like get you to, there's a place you could get to pretty early on in a game that is like an insane farming spot where you could just like, okay, I want to like up all my stats. And then that makes the game a lot, you know, I'll help you do that. I'll help you kill like the early boss. I'll help you kill any fucking boss you want. We're gonna do this. It's gonna be fun.
And it's not cross play, right? Like if you get it on one system, like you can't play with somebody on, like you can't play with somebody on PlayStation, right, Jeff?
No.
Yeah, because they're, and I don't even remember where it was, but somebody actually had a deal where you get Elden Ring and God of War for $90.
Oh yeah.
Which it's being good, as God of War deal. Is yeah. 70 right now.
That's a real good deal, for sure. But I have to feel Elden Ring will get the deal. There's gonna be the game is not
but it hasn't once. It exactly, which is why I wonder if it will.
It's been at most like $10 off.
I feel like it's saturated the people that are gonna pay the $60 at this point. Right, like you gotta like go. Okay, now.
No, because the thing you have to remember is this is also the time of year where people get their Xbox Series X and their
PS5 as a gift. You're buying stuff as you're buying
So,
but I do think it's time. Every game goes on sale. Even Nintendo games go on sale at some point. And Elden Ring has been out for fucking since what January.
January, February, yeah.
Yeah, so it's time. It's time. I think you guys will get a good deal on it.
Yeah.
Better. Better.
We will fuck shit up together as bros.
Like Tony, I'm just waiting for...
Because I don't think I'm going to like it. You're really high on it. I haven't liked any of these games so far, and I've tried several of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like roll the dice at like $30 bucks. Like, I'm really willing to give Jeff that.
Right.
I really don't know because like it is different. It is that open world, like just go fucking do whatever you want type thing. And
so, I don't think that's gonna sell Chris on it.
Yeah, I mean we'll see. Yeah. I think playing like I think this does have a better co-op system. I think Jeff, you had said. Which may work for me. I don't know.
You could summon me. We could voice chat. I could go watch me kill this boss for you, and then you get all this XP, and you'd be like, "Yeah, that was fun." Try to stay alive. Keep rolling. Keep dodging and rolling, Chris.
You Sherpa me through so I can see all the cool things, but I don't actually have to do anything.
But guys, I have to recommend that you go with the astrologer, like the magic guy. Mm-hmm. I'm usually the person that says be the guy at the sword and shield, dude. Be the magic guy in this. You just get some amazing spells, and it's just I don't know. It's way more fun, and for whatever reason, I don't know if they've balanced it more, but playing as the sword and shield dude, you just get fucking owned constantly. So
we will see.
We'll fucking go in together as three wizards killing shit. It's gonna be great.
All right. Well, let's just hope for that sale then.
Right.
I believe.
All right. We'll be back next week. Jeff, say good night.
Good night.